Yeah.
It's going.
All right. So 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. I'm going to read these verses, if you'll follow. 2 Kings 2, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophet, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, he shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. And they sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, Did I not say unto you, Go not? There's a whole lot of things in this passage. I'll make comment on a number of them as we go along. But I want to say something on every one of them right now. But then there'll be no order at all. So let's go back to the beginning. Why is it, I asked last week, that God uses some men and not others? And assuming that they are comparable, okay? The old adage, you got to compare apples with apples. You can't compare apples and oranges. So, but assuming that you have two people, and they're very similar, they're very, they're both saved, they're both dedicated to God, they're both faithful, they're both honest, they're comparable. Why is it that God uses one and not another? And I don't mean ever or absolutely, but in this matter, how come God uses this one rather than this one? One of the things we're going to look at as we go through this second chapter is some of the things that cause God to use an individual. In verse 2, we are told that they went to Bethel. House of God is what that means. And I know that there are those of you that know that. House of God. A reason for the blessing of God on Elijah and then on Elisha is that they made much of the house of God. It was a place of worship. From that we learn that we need to build up the church. The local church. For us, it's this church. Now, you lived somewhere else, it'd be another church there where you lived. Which means that if circumstances in your life end up having you move or have you in a different location, then you may be going somewhere else, and it's important that we are faithful to the house of God. It is good to do, and it is right to do. God does not use lazy people. And God will not use unfaithful people. You know, well, I saw a lazy guy one time, and he was doing a lot. Just because somebody does something doesn't mean God's using them.
That's right.
Okay? And so they went to Bethel. And when they were at Bethel, Elijah said to Elisha, verse 2, You wait here. The Lord sent me to Bethel. And you notice what Elisha said? Oh no. He said, As the Lord liveth. As the Lord liveth. And in verse 4, the same thing. There they were in Bethel, and Elijah said, Now God's sending me to Jericho, you just wait here. And Elisha said, Oh no, you're not going to get away from me. As the Lord liveth. And the same thing was said in verse 6. When Elijah said to him, God is sending me to Jordan, you just wait here. And Elisha said, no, as the Lord liveth. Elisha knew that if he was going to get from God what he needed, it was necessary for him to stay with the man of God.
Amen.
Now, Elijah was the senior prophet, okay? Elijah was, he called him his master, okay? And that master would often carry with, with it. That role of the senior would often carry with it a father figure to it. And so he cried out in chapter 2, verse 12, that is, my father, the chariot of Israel. Now, that wasn't his daddy. Okay? That was his master. Amen. And you see, they had, sometimes we like to say, they had Bible schools back then. They were schools of prophets.
That's right.
Well, now, why did God use Elisha and not one of these other 50 prophets? See? And, we're not given the details as to why he didn't. We are given the details about Elisha. And he says, as the Lord liveth, my aim, my goal is to live my life and to proceed as the Lord liveth. Elisha had a God who was alive. And because Elisha believed it, now listen to me, because Elisha believed it, he lived it.
Amen.
Because he believed it, he lived it. So often we hear someone say, well, I believe that. Maybe it's a sermon preached, a Sunday school lesson taught. Maybe something read in a piece of Christian literature or heard on the radio. And, depending on what the setting is, it may be in a conversation, it may be to another person. It may just be in the privacy of their own mind. They think, I believe that. Well, when we believe something, then we need to live it.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, we can rightly say if we don't live it, it's proof that we don't really believe it.
That's right.
Our weak, excusing, bashful, or skeptical way of living won't get the job done. And it's also not satisfying to ourselves. We don't get a sense of fulfillment or a sense of obedience because we don't have obedience. When we believe something or say we believe it and live different, what would we usually call that? What does the world call it when they see a church person who says one thing but lives another? The word starts with the letter H. It's hypocrisy. And just like we don't fool our neighbors or our co-workers or our relatives, we're certainly not going to fool God. But Elisha was able to say all three times, as the Lord liveth, as the Lord liveth. A capable pastor was asked one time what the secret of his success was. And his reply, God is real.
That's right.
See, had nothing to do with him. Now that man worked hard, I'm sure. That man had to put his whole self into it. But he was wise enough to know that the success that he had was because God is real. As the Lord liveth. Then another reason is again in verse 2, 4, and 6. In verse 2, Elijah said to Elisha, you just wait here. He says, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And then in verse 4, the same thing. When he's going to go to Jericho, he says, no, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And we see it repeated in verse 6, I will not leave thee. He would not quit. He would not give up. He would not give in. And he would not be chased off. You see, the schools of the prophets, they came to him and said, don't you know Your master's going to be taken away. So apparently, I don't know how, but somehow this was general knowledge. You know, I thought to myself, well, it must be Elisha had some kind of insight. And then as I read on, I read that the prophets knew about it. The sons of the prophets, as they're called. Okay, they knew about it. So somehow this was general knowledge that Elijah was going to be taken away. And Elisha, he says, as the Lord liveth, I'm depending on God, and on the basis of God's life and power, I will not leave thee. He would not quit. He would not give up. He would not be chased off. God, when it comes to this matter of prayer, God doesn't always mean no when he says no. Okay, now I'll explain it. Okay, and I know you've heard this. God answers prayer in three ways. Yes, no, and wait. Well, now the yes is very easy to understand. It's when you get a wait or a no. If you get a wait, you wonder, is he saying no? Or is he saying wait? Since I didn't get a yes, it's got to be one of the other two. Which is it? Or if he's saying no, you may wonder, is he really saying just wait? And so, he holds back answers. Sometimes God holds back answers to see if we will quit. You say, well, I need more faith. I don't have much faith. Listen to me. The very fact of persistence in prayer is an evidence of faith.
Amen.
Frequently we'll ask two or three times, maybe four times, you know, and we don't get an answer and we give up. What kind of faith is that in God? The very fact that we keep asking, you say, well, I don't want to pest God. That's a human thought. God does not get pestered by our pleading with him. And it is an evidence of faith that we continue to ask. Turn, if you will, to Luke. Luke chapter 11. Familiar passage to many. Luke chapter 11. I'll begin reading at verse 5. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And he said unto them, verse 1 to 4 is the disciples' prayer. It's when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord teaching the disciples how to pray. But after that, he says in verse 5, he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? Got that picture? It's midnight. And you go to your friend and you say, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And the first friend who's in the house at midnight, he from within shall answer and say, you've got to be out of your mind. Don't you know it's midnight? Well, it says, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and we're all in bed. I can't get up and give thee. Now I wonder if he was talking to him from bed. He said, I can't get up and give thee. I got an idea he was up at least talking through shuttered window openings. We know that in the window panes. He just didn't want to be bothered. But, you know, hey, it's midnight. The whole house is shut up. Verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend. Now that's a very important phrase. Because he is his friend. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise. Because of the man who came, knocked on the door and said, I need some bread for my another friend who's traveling. And, you know, the one he went to said, not, can't do it, not now. And but he didn't give up. He continued to ask. Did he continue to knock on the door? We're not given that detail. But we know it says here, because of his importunity. Now, that's a nice word. But I had to look up exactly what it meant. I had the general gist. But it's a troublesomely urgent request. See? Troublesomely urgent. So you got the picture? The original man who had a friend come by, I'm thinking unexpectedly, had a friend come by, goes to the friend over here, and he says, because I'm assuming he figured he would have the bread that the original one didn't have. So he says, no, I'm not going to help you now. Everybody's in bed. But he kept asking, troublesomely urgent. Frequently you'll hear this said that he was persistent, and indeed he was persistent. But I like that troublesomely. Now, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now Jesus just taught the disciples how to pray. And now he illustrates that with this story. What's he telling us? Two or three times politely asking and then giving up is not what persistence in prayer is all about. And if anything, Jesus is telling us, don't worry about being troublesome. You got a need that's got to be met. Now, I know we should not pray against God's will. I understand that. That has to do with our attitude. Okay? We're not trying by being persistent in prayer. We're not trying to change God's will. But we are evidencing that we have faith in God and there is no other recourse. We have no other place to go. We have no other way for this need to be met. And so we plead with God.
Amen.
Now it's important that we're willing to be what God wants us to be. We cannot pray and beg God and know that we're not going to yield to God in those things that God has spoken to us about. Don't expect a miracle from God when you're not willing to live for God.
Right.
And every parent here knows what I'm talking about. Because when a child asks favors, asks for pleasant things, and asks for help, one of the first things a parent's going to say to them, if they've been rebellious, and they don't even have to be that strong, when they just haven't done your chores. What do you mean you want a favor and you want to be able to go here or go there? You didn't do your chores. Okay? So God says, you want this? He knows we need it. But he says, you've not, you know, and then whatever it is that he reminds us of. And so Elisha said, I will not leave thee. He was persistent to stay with Elijah. There's something he wanted. And we found out what that was. And we'll look at that when we come to it. I've got to end this. And he had something he wanted. You have something you want? Then stay with God.
Amen.
Don't leave him. Stay with him. And if you say you believe it, then live it. And this all works together, builds together, in order for us to get the answer from God that we need. Father in heaven, you will need to teach us this, for we are so feeble in our understandings. Oh, academically, mentally, we get it, but Lord, with the heart, we need your Spirit to work. We pray that he'll do so in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now let's quickly take prayer requests. I'm going to lead off with Bob DiPolito. You know, he lives in Olean. That's where we live. And he let me know that the anxiety conditions are improving.
Amen.
Okay? They're not totally gone, but that's improving. However, now he has severe headaches. And yesterday he... I think it was yesterday, he went to Buffalo to see a neurologist. And the brain tumor is on the back of his head down low. And it was 7 millimeters in size. And it has, they did an MRI, and it has shrunk to 4.
Amen.
So that's definitely progress. Okay? And he was going to Buffalo to a neurologist regarding the matter of the headaches. So if you put that on your list, and I appreciate several of the young men have been praying for Bob back in the prayer group. And that's very encouraging to hear young men do that. All right, what other prayer requests? Autumn.
I pray for my dad. He went to the doctor today.
He did what?
He went to the doctor today.
You went to the doctor today. Any report for us?
Bad news. Just pray that, you know, we'll wait on God's answer.
Okay.
So, I mean, that was right down our alley. We needed to hear that tonight when you preach. I mean,
yeah.
You know, when you get discouraged, you know, and then
oh, yeah.
You come in and we hear something like that, you know, we know what we need to
okay.
do.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Well, we know what his need is, so let's keep praying in that direction. Yes, Josh. Oh, for Trevor's dog, since Trevor's not here. Yes. Okay. And we miss them sitting there. Okay. Melinda.
A few. Doug, of course, the usual. And for the praise, I had a prayer request a week or two or three or four or whatever it was ago about DJ and signing divorce papers and stuff. Well, he was home for about a week, and he signed the papers, hallelujah.
Okay.
So she took them and turned them in to her lawyer. And he said by the end of May, beginning of June, it should all be finalized and then be done there and over with it.
Okay.
So hallelujah for that.
Yeah.
And then pray for a friend of ours. Her name is Jessica. She's going through kind of a rough time right now. And I've got a couple of unspokens.
Okay. Jessica, a friend, a rough time, and some unspoken. All right. Very good. Others. Tanya.
I have two. One for Ray. And also, I learned today that Lenny has been having a lot of hard times, and he went to a specialist, and it's not looking real good for him.
Okay, Lenny? Who is Lenny?
Neighborhood mechanic.
Ah, yes.
People who belong right. or hate him.
Okay. And the issue again?
Just his health.
Health issues? Okay. All right, very good. Any other? Randy?
An unspoken and also have less headache in the eyes.
Okay, an unspoken and what was the other one?
Less headache in the eyes.
Okay.
Headaches.
All right, very good. Any others? All right, then we'll go to Esther.
It's great for us. Kyrie's out.
Lots of wisdom on the floor.
I'll take it anyways.
Okay. All right. Let's remember that. All right. Debbie?
Mrs. Tim's, and I don't remember the family's name, but there's a family, a
church that got caught in that tornado, I think it was, the father and two kids out of a family of seven kids died, and they're hurting really bad, and their church is praying and working on sending that family money.
Okay.
Baptist church, I don't remember what church they're from, but the family that was...
A church, we know some people in South Carolina, actually. She's apparently talking with Jill Tim.
Yes, yeah.
So a church there that we meet with sometimes when we go to Tennessee, they have a family there praying.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. I'm sure you heard his explanation. That's good. Okay, any others? Martha?
Two unspoken.
Okay, Martha has two unspoken. All right, yes, Pastor.
Just praying that a goof up that I did, the Lord could handle. I was sitting here wondering why Zane hadn't filled your water cup, and then remembered, oh, the Montgomery's are gone. Oh, I was supposed to pick Chris up. So I'm going to run as soon as this is over. He doesn't have a phone and get straight with him. So just pray. I mean, I could go light or it could go, you know, with bitterness, but I think
yeah.
No, Chris will go light, but I'm going to go with him.
Okay, very good. So you a coffee drinker?
Take a Mountain Dew.
A Mountain Dew? Okay.
Mountain Dew.
Peace offer, yeah. All right, we're going to go to prayer. Again, if you think of anything else, just pray it and others will hear it in that manner. All right, let's divide to prayer groups. Huh. I didn't have it on. Yeah, that way when we talk about you, you'd hear us.
Well, if you would, head up that prayer group, and I'm going to go undo my evil.
Yeah.